Hello? Yeah, I'm on. Okay, this morning's scripture reading is from, if you can turn to 1 Samuel 23. We're going to read the first 17 verses. And, one second, let me get my... Then they told David, saying, "Behold, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah and are plummeting the threshing floors." So David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go and attack these Philistines?" And the Lord said to David, "Go and attack the Philistines and deliver Keilah." But David's men said to him, "Behold, we are afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we go to Keilah against the ranks of the Philistines?" Then David inquired of the Lord once more, and the Lord answered him and said, "Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will give the Philistines into your hand." So David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines, and he led away their livestock and struck them with a great slaughter. Thus David delivered the inhabitants of Keilah. Now it came about when Abiathar the son of Ahimelech fled to David at Keilah that he came down with an ephod in his hand. When it was told Saul that David had come to Keilah, Saul said, "God has delivered him into my hand, for he shut himself in by entering a city with double gates and double bars." So Saul summoned all the people for war to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. Now David knew that Saul was plotting evil against him, and he said to Abiathar the priest, "Bring the ephod here." Then David said, "O Lord God of Israel, your servant has heard for certain that Saul is seeking to come to Keilah to destroy the city on my account. Will the men of Keilah surrender me into his hand? Will Saul come down just as your servant has heard? O Lord God of Israel, I pray, tell your servant." And the Lord said, "He will come down." Then David said, "Will the men of Keilah surrender me and my men into the hand of Saul?" And the Lord said, "They will surrender you." Then David said, David and his men, about 600, arose and departed from Keilah, and they went wherever they could go. When it was told Saul that David had escaped from Keilah, he gave up the pursuit. David stayed in the wilderness in the strongholds and remained in the hill country in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God did not deliver him into his hand. Now David became aware that Saul had come out to seek his life while David was in the wilderness of Ziph at Horesh. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David at Horesh and encouraged him in God. Jonathan said, "Thus he said to him, 'Do not be afraid, because the hand of Saul, my father, will not find you. And you will be king over Israel, and I will be next to you. And Saul, my father, knows that also.'" Let's pray. Dear Father God, we just thank you for your word, Lord. God, we just... humble ourselves today, God, and we ask the Holy Spirit to come and to instruct and to teach and to open up these scriptures, God. Deliver the message that you'd like us to hear, and I just pray that we would have open hearts and ears to receive your word. God, we give you all the honor and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. A couple of things I took away from this is that... we see in chapter 23 that Saul is pursuing David and he's trying to kill him. And during this difficult situation, I think one of the characteristics that makes David so successful in all that he does is that you see the dependency on God. You know, before he goes out into battle, David inquires, you know, asks the Lord, "Hey God, what should I do about these Philistines that are..." Basically, what they did is they plummeted the threshing floors. I mean, the threshing floors is where they separated the grain and the chaff. So that's where the food supply is for that city of Keilah. And David inquires of the Lord, should I attack these Philistines? And God said yes. And David's there are about 600 people with David, soldiers with David, and they were afraid because in the chapter before, King Saul... he wipes out entire, he kills all the priests of Nob. He just kills them because he thought that they were helping David. So his men are a bit afraid because they're fleeing or running away from Saul. But David, because he's such a good leader, he then, because his men are afraid, he asks again in verse 4, it says, David inquired of the Lord once more, and the Lord answered him, "Arise, go down to Kalal, for I will give the Philistines into your hands." If you can see, God, when he speaks to God, David in the second verse, God says, go and attack the Philistines, then deliver Kalal. But in verse 4, God says, arise, because he knew David was scared. Right? Arise, go down, for I will deliver them into your hand. And we continue to see the dependency that David has on God. I think the second thing that kind of spoke to me from this verse is, now Saul, I mean, David hasn't done anything to Saul, right? David's been a faithful servant in his army. David's the one that killed Goliath. David's the one fighting the battles for Saul. I mean, David's been serving Saul faithfully. But in verse 7, I thought it was quite interesting. When Saul heard that David came to the city of Kalal, Saul said, in verse 7, God has delivered him into my hand, for he shut himself in by entering a city with double gates and bars. So I guess Kalal was a heavily fortified city with double gates and bars. But what I thought was interesting is Saul interprets David coming to Kalal as, oh, God must have delivered him into my hands. So in verse 8, so Saul summoned all the people for war to go down to Kalal to besiege David and his men. What's going on here is that Saul wants to kill David so bad, any remote circumstance or anything, he's just grabbing on to, he's saying, hey, this must be from God. Like, you know, God must have delivered David so I can kill him. And I think, I mean, the thing that spoke to me about this is a lot of times, you know, contrary to David was, you know, in intimacy with God, and he was speaking with the Lord, and he was dependent on God. But Saul, he was interpreting these circumstances as, hey, this is from God, this is from heaven. And I think we do that a lot in our Christian faith, right? We don't have intimacy with the Lord, but we're like, hey, this job must be from God, because, you know, I prayed about it, and, you know, this is, God didn't speak to me, but the circumstances are, hey, I got this job. Or, you know, and it can be about anything. It can be about maybe a building we want to move to, like, hey, this is a good building. God hasn't really said that's the building, but, hey, it's available. Hey, why not? It can also be about, you know, like, come on, a lot of us are single. You know, a lot of times we think, okay, hey, I saw a picture of this person or this girl, or, you know, I'm starting to get close to this person. This must be from God. And we interpret things the way we want to interpret it. And then later, if it's not, it doesn't work out, then we end up blaming God, saying, hey, God, like, you know, isn't this from you? And it didn't work out. So, God, what's going on? And we can see from this situation, I mean, Saul thinks, hey, God has delivered him into my hand, because he entered the city that was a heavily fortified city. There's no way he's going to escape me now. And if you look at the odds, I mean, Saul should win, right? Saul has all of Israel on his side, and David has 600 men, right? But I think the verse that came to me when I read this is that, you know, we have to test everything, right? It says in, you know, 1 Thessalonians, I'll give you the verse, 5:20-22, and 1 John 4 through verses 1 through 3, that we should test the spirits. I mean, we should test whether, hey, is this really from God before we act. You know, Saul just takes the circumstance and he acts on it. So what does he do? He summons all the people. He goes down to Kalal to kill David. But what happens, right? So now David prays in verse 10, O Lord God of Israel, your servant has heard for certain that Saul is seeking to come to Kalal to destroy the city on my account. Now God asks, you know, he asks two questions. Will Saul come down? And in verse 11, the Lord says he will come down. And then David, in greater detail says, well, he's going to come down, but are these people who I just saved from the Philistines, are they going to surrender us? And what does God say? He says, in verse 12, yes, they will surrender you. I think a couple of things I took away from this. One is, I mean, David just saved all these people's lives from the Philistines, right? Right? Philistines were attacking Kalal, the people of Kalal, and he basically went to war against them, and he just saved them. So it must have been quite discouraging for him to, you know, when he asked God, hey, I just saved these people, but they're going to actually surrender me over to Saul when Saul gets here. So David escapes. I think one thing impressive about David is any other person would have complained, like, God, why is this happening to me? What's going on? But in verse 13, David just basically took his 600 men and they departed and they just left. In verse 14, I think, David stayed in the wilderness, in the strongholds, and remained in the hill country in the wilderness. And Saul sought him every day, but God did not deliver him into his hand. I think we see the true situation here, right? That Saul, who thought God delivered David into his hands, that's not the case, right? Saul sought him every day in the wilderness, but God did not deliver him into his hand. So what can we take away from verse 14 is that it's God's battle. And I think that's why David's so successful. He submitted to God. He put the situation into God's hands. And he knew that no matter what he did, it's not because David was so witty, David was stronger than Saul. It was basically, you know, David depended on the Lord and God delivered him. And I think David knew where his strength came from. And I think the other verse that spoke to me was in verse 17, verse 16, Jonathan, Saul's own son, who's very good friends with David, comes to meet him. And what does he say? He says to David, do not be afraid, because the hand of Saul, my father, will not find you, and you will be king over Israel, and I'll be next to you. And Saul, my father, knows that also. You know, I think when we're going through a difficult situation, I think God sends people to encourage us, right? And what happens here, I mean, David's fleeing from Saul. And, you know, David hasn't done anything wrong. He's just been a faithful servant of Saul. But Saul's jealous, right? And Saul knows that David's anointed, and he's trying to kill him. And, you know, and David, you know, David's been anointed as well. He's been promised that, hey, you know, from when Samuel anointed him, that, hey, you're going to be king over Israel. But what does God do when he's, you know, at this low point, when he's fleeing from Saul and he's almost, you know, he's about to be captured? You know, God sends Jonathan to encourage him. And Jonathan doesn't know that David's going to be king of Israel. He wasn't there when he was anointed by Samuel. But for some reason, Jonathan knows. He sees the anointing on David, and he encourages him, and he says, you'll be king over Israel. And I think that's a prophetic utterance, and it gives David strength to continue. And, you know, from this entire passage, the key points are David is so dependent on God, and I think that's why he's such a successful leader, right? And that's how he can get out of this difficult situation. He is dependent on the Lord, and he knows that God is the only one that can deliver him. So, you know, I'd like to encourage you, if you're going through a difficult time, that really depend on the Lord and seek him and know that he will deliver you. Second thing is, let's not misinterpret circumstances and everything and say that it's from God, as Saul did in verse 7. You know, we've got to be careful about doing that. We need to do what David does, and in intimacy he seeked the Lord, and the Lord spoke to him. Saul, we can tell, he doesn't have any intimacy from God. He's just looking at any circumstance and trying to say that's from God. And we know it wasn't from God, because God didn't deliver David into Saul's hands, right? I think the third point is, You know, David doesn't complain, even in the midst of these difficult circumstances. Even when he just saved these people, they were going to betray him and surrender him, but he doesn't do that. And then lastly, we know that God will provide encouragement on the way. So, you know, hold on to your prophetic words. I know a lot of times we get people that pray over us and they give us encouragement and prophecy. You know, write those things down and hold on to those things, because those are from God, right? So let's bow our heads. Let's pray. God, we just thank you for your word this morning, God. We thank you that, God, you are the God, that you go out and fight our battles, God. You are the one that delivers us, God. You are our protector, our deliverer, God. And we just thank you, God, that, you know, we can always come to you in any situation, any difficult situation, God. And Father, we just thank you, God, for your goodness, God, your faithfulness, that you're always there for us, God. So I just encourage you guys, if there's anything that you're battling, is there anything that you're going through a difficult time, just submit it to the Lord and ask the Lord to help you and seek his guidance and his deliverance. But he's not going to come unless you invite him. It's a partnership. And, you know, when you submit to the Lord, and that means that you release God to come into that situation and have God fight your battle instead of you trying to fight that battle yourself. So I just encourage you to do that this morning. And, yeah, thanks. Thank you.
Oceans rise and thunders roar. you are God. I will be still and know you are God.
Let's pray for the church this morning. I just get a sense we need to pray for unity amongst our church. Let's pray against any divisiveness or disunity. Let's pray that we are one body, one team. Let's just do that right now. Yeah, God, God, I pray for the unity of our church, God. I pray, God, that we would be unified, God. Just have one heart to serve you and to serve others, God. And Lord, I pray against any demonic assignments against our church to divide and conquer us. Father, I pray that we would humble ourselves, God, from the top down, to just really serve others, to include others. Father, I just pray, God, that I pray for all the people that kind of are wavering, that are, you know, on the fence. Lord, I pray that, God, that you would woo them back in, God, to the body. God, that you would... God, it's your goodness, Lord, that leads us to repentance, God. And I just pray, God, that you would just woo them back in, God, to the body, God, where there's protection, God, and covering, Father God. I pray for all those people that are kind of on the fence or even outside the fence, God. Lord, I pray for all the people that have been hurt by church or been offended at church, God. I pray, God, that God, we repent on the church's behalf, God. I just pray that that you would unify us, Father God, and that the spirit of love and kindness and gentleness and belonging would permeate throughout the congregation, Father. That people would feel welcome, God, and feel like they belong to something. God, I pray against any self-centeredness, God. I pray for servant hearts, God. God, I just want to cover our pastor and our pastoral staff, God, as well. So let's pray for them. Let's pray for covering over them. They're, you know, always going to be on the, you know, top of the enemy's hit list. So let's cover them in prayer. Let's cover protection over them. God, we just cover Pastor Sam and Pastor Sam Kim, Pastor Nate, Kenny, Sophia, and all their families, God. God, we pray against any demonic assignments against them. God, we cancel them in Jesus' name, Father. God, we come and we step in the gap, God. We stand in the gap for them, God. We cover them, Lord. Father God, I pray for intimacy with you, God. I pray for a clarity from you, God. Guidance that comes from heaven, Father. God, as you spoke to David, God, I pray that you speak to them, Father God. Pray for the building. God, Lord, God, we know that it's in your hands, God. God, when you open the door, God, it's going to happen. It's nothing that we can do with from our own strength. It's nothing we can do by our own means, God. So, Father, we submit it into your hands, God. We ask that you would give us guidance, Father. And, Lord, God, prepare us for the move as well, Father God. Let us not be so overwhelmed by the building itself, but prepare us as a church to move as well, Father God. And if we need to do any, you know, house cleaning, God, just give us direction, Father. If there needs to be anything done before you open that door, God, just lead the way, God. I pray for all the missions trips that we're preparing for this summer. God, I pray that you would move people's hearts to go on missions, God. That it would be appointed, God. Not just random, Father. I pray that you would move the people's hearts. And I pray for the missions preparation, God. I pray that you're covering over each one of the missions teams, Father. I pray for, let's pray for all our missionaries out there that we support. And lastly, I mean, just pray for yourself, whatever. I mean, it's your time now. It's free time. So just go before the Lord and cry out. Amen. Bless you.